This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
And this is Doug Pollard bringing it to you with the able assistance of one Carl Cutter, whom you may or may not have heard of, half-brother to the infamous Bob, who seems to be a bit quiet at the moment, very unusually for him. We're talking today about unchristian Christians. You heard just now about a congregation down in Lilydale who turned their pastor and his family out on the street because they didn't like his support for gay marriage, and how Carl is now organising a benefit to try and help the Reverend who stood up for us. It's time we stood up for him. Now, Paul Martin used to be on the other side of the fence. He was a poster boy for Exodus International. Now, Exodus is probably the most famous worldwide organisation claiming to turn gay guys straight. And this is obviously something that doesn't work. So Paul, like many others who was a poster boy for the movement, has now, years ago now, admitted that actually he was gay, that it was all a waste of time. You can't turn people straight. It never worked for him. It's never going to work for anyone else. And he's now trained as a psychologist and spends his time, among other things, helping people who've been damaged by the attempt to turn themselves straight. And he joins us on the line now. Good evening.
Good evening. G'day, Carl.
Hey, Paul. How you going?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Now, tell me a little bit about yourself, so for the listeners who don't know. You were an ex, well, you were gay, then you were an ex-gay.
That's right. Well, I was brought up in a fundamentalist Christian family. Mm-hmm. And, of course, every Sunday I would sit there listening to sermons, talking about the top 10 sin list, and homosexuals right up there, you know,
with we're top of the pops, folks.
No one. I didn't realize I was going to be gay until I went through puberty and realized that I was. So, and what happened is that I went to Sydney, and because I had a lot of internalized homophobia, I believed that, you know, what they were saying in church was right, and I didn't want to accept the fact that I was same-sex attracted because I couldn't be one of those evil instinct predators. Mm-hmm. So I went to Sydney, and of course all of my internalized homophobia was like a bit of a filter. So I saw that, yes, look, you know, I went to clubs and thought, oh yeah, everyone is off their face. No one, you know, I couldn't possibly be one of them. But it was terrible, kind of confused, very homophobic.
Well, I think most people can relate to that. A friend of mine describing to me the first time he went into a gay bar, he said he loved it now, but when he first went in there, he had to overcome what he called the nausea barrier.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. And it's nothing to do with the club. It's nothing to do with the people there. It's what you bring into that club. So I had this kind of really deep hatred of what I'd actually become. Mm. And so for me, what happened was that there was a guy who sent me a letter saying you don't have to be gay. And I came back to Melbourne, where I used to live, and I joined this group of people. And for the first time ever, I felt that I truly belonged and that there were people that understood me. So I knew that I wasn't straight and I didn't want to be gay, and these people didn't want to be either. So it was a group of people, and now I look back, and of course it's a group of white people trying to become black. It's really not very successful.
Doesn't stop them trying. Look at Michael Jackson. So you became a leader of the movement. You didn't just join it.
I was very passionate about it.
You actually got up there, and you were like the poster boy. You actually sold it to the folks.
We were running conferences. We were out in front of media. We're doing all sorts of things. And they've got tapes and glossy brochures, and there's Living Waters, which has nothing to do with sort of any problems you might have within. But Living Waters is this program, and it's all these sort of...
I thought that was a Liberace concert, but never mind.
And it's all meant to be supporting you. So through prayer therapy, reparative therapy, through counselling, through that sort of group support.
Now, can I just stop you a second there? Because you talked about reparative therapy and things. We heard some really weird things from the States about some of these groups, sort of encounter group kind of things that go on in these therapy sessions where men were encouraged to sort of sit in each other's laps and hug each other and, you know, find the lost father and all this sort of thing, whilst at the same time being abjured to, you know, you can't wear fancy underwear, there's no Calvin Klein's allowed, and no aftershave. Is that true?
It is true. Actually, Wendy Lawson, who was my co-leader, is now in a very long-term lesbian relationship, but she she was told by someone to, because it's about having non-sexual intimate relationships with people of the same sex to repair the damage that was done because you didn't have a good relationship with the parent of the same sex, but you eroticized it, which is the nasty thing. So she was actually told that she should actually be sucking the nipples of a particular friend to help her connect. And we weren't taught to suck anything, so we were pretty ripped off as men.
So you cure yourself of being, a woman cures herself of being a lesbian by sucking another woman's nipples and pretending it's her mother.
That's right.
I get you. No really one. This is snake oil. This is pure snake oil.
And unfortunately, because they're in this Christian framework, a lot of the counselling that happens flies under the radar screen of what, you know, most people would assume would be a highly regulated kind of industry, such as psychology, or so that they can get away with murder. Well, almost murder. I mean, suicide's verging on it, but they really do get away with a lot of damaging a lot of people.
Well, fortunately, you came out the other side and you survived it, albeit with a bit of a struggle, obviously.
Yeah, very much so.
Let's sort of kind of skip over from there, from where you came from to where you got to. You're a psychologist now.
Yes, I am.
Which I'm sure helped you come to an understanding of your own situation and work through it. You now help other people through this kind of thing too. One of the things I was interested in, you said to me when we were discussing tonight's interview, you said that one of the things you do is help the victims of this reparative therapy process, and you said a lot of them are damaged. In fact, they're some of the most damaged people you deal with.
Yes, I think so, because a lot of these people stay in there for far too many years, and they hang in there with gritted teeth, knowing that one day they will be healed, that they will be cured. And there's a lot of people surrounding them that believe that it is possible. You just have to have faith and persist. One of my clients...
That's interesting, because that means, of course, if you fail, it's your fault.
Well, that's exactly right. This is where part of the damage comes from.
Ouch. That's so dangerous.
That's so dangerous.
It is really dangerous, exactly, Carl. And one of the problems is that when you're growing up and you've been taught to be, you know, you become something you've been taught to hate, and that's really quite damaging. And our gay and lesbian populations have a lot of mental health problems because of that. But then on top of it, you think, oh, I don't have to be gay. Everything's going to be fine. But every night you go to sleep, you've failed. Every time you wake up, you're just as that same sex attracted as the day before. So you're constantly failing, and it's your fault. You don't believe in God enough. You don't have enough faith. You haven't been...
This is brainwashing. I mean, this is brainwashing, pure and simple. I mean, this is the kind of thing they used to do to you in North Korea if they shot you down out of a U-2 or something.
It's this consistent repetitive kind of message that just pick yourself. What they call, if you had sex with a guy, it's like you've fallen. And they say, oh, pick yourself up and everything be fine. Come back. You don't have to do it again. But it's like holding a ball underwater with not being sexual, not thinking about guys or whatever it might be. And eventually the ball comes out of the water and whacks you in the head. And so many people would be failing endlessly and feel so ashamed and feel so evil. And these groups say that homosexuality is still a disorder. And, of course, it's been proven otherwise.
Well, they seem to be divided on that. It's a choice. It's a disorder. According to someone on this radio station the other week who had actually been a member of Margaret Court's church, it's a demon. And there are different kinds of demons.
There are demons, sweetie.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this person was told that he had a demon on his shoulder. He was being demon-ridden, which meant he was one step away from being possessed.
Well, he's been brainwashed, pretty much.
They thought I was possessed by the demon of homosexuality, and I did warn them for it not... I mean, if it did come out, my God, it'd be so over the top and theatrical.
Well, yes. I mean, I'm picturing something like a Tom and Jerry cartoon here.
Yes, that's right. With a blonde wig.
With a very camp gentleman with a, you know, a pointed red tail sitting on one shoulder, kind of thing, a nice nail varnish on his claws.
Exactly.
I mean, and people believe this rubbish.
Absolutely. And what they do is they target the right people. So it's very good target marketing.
What do you mean by target the right people?
Well, they target young people usually who are conflicted between their sexual orientation and their faith. And where there's a conflict, they say resolve the conflict by changing your orientation, which never works.
No. But that's the part that really gets me steamed because, you know, you mentioned about the high rates of poor mental health in our community, and part of it is due to the fact the atmosphere of homophobia that many of us have to live in. That's a very extreme homophobic environment you're talking about. That's far worse than being bullied at school because that's got your parents on side against you.
That's
it's right. Got the pastor, it's got the church, it's got everything else. And now you're telling me they target that at adolescents?
Yes, well, they do. They target people when they're confused about their sexual orientation. And as I say, when there is that conflict, and they say, rather than resolving the conflict by coming to terms with who you are and come to a place of self-acceptance, they say, you know, stop, as I was saying, like, it's like, stop being white, become black, and you'll be fine. You cannot change.
That's appalling.
Well, who you are.
That's absolutely appalling. To teach, to treat vulnerable adolescents in that way is absolutely appalling. I mean, it's child abuse, pure and simple.
Yeah, it's awful stuff.
And as you say, because they're a church, they get away with it.
Exactly. And because, you know, they're quoting the Bible, they've got a lot of books, they've got tapes, they've got, you know, people that are really, it's very polished. They're beautiful posters.
How expensive is this process?
Oh, I think it's free. I think God knows how they pay for it.
Certainly in the States, it's big business.
Oh, absolutely. And what they'll do is they'll get people like Adam Hood, who came to Australia, and I helped sort of close a lot of these things down. But but what they'll do is they'll parade, which we did. We parade these success stories past the groups and past everyone, saying these people are married and they've got kids and they used to be gay, but now they're not. And of course, when they were pissed at a party, they'd end up coming to me and say, oh, Paul, it's even worse than before. I feel trapped and I just feel so awful and I can't believe what I've done. And of course, it hasn't worked, but I have to pretend it worked.
That's absolutely. So you try and disentangle these poor people who've been sort of battered in this way.
Oh, absolutely. And as I say, look, there's one guy who's in his mid-50s. He's been in that particular type of church under reparative therapy since he was 16.
Oh.
And he's never known what it's like to be loved.
And he's still sane?
He was very damaged and very upset, but he has survived through it. We did a lot of work together. A lot of what I would call reparative therapy, which is repairing damage of the reparative therapy, which is ironic. And but look, he's now fully accepting his sexuality. He's now a very active member of what's a place called Freedom to Be. Which is a place where people of faith and are same-sex attracted or gender diverse can go and be very accepted and they can be a Christian. And this guy has now found that he can keep his faith and also be gay. And he's now starting to date. And he said, I didn't know what it was great. Like to feel happy.
Well, thank goodness he's out of it. And, you know, this makes me feel like mounting raids on these places and rescuing people.
Right.
Really, 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 really does. Look, we're going to have to leave it there because we've got a lot to get through tonight. But keep up the good work. I'm so glad you jumped the fence.
Yes, am I.
I'm so glad that you saw the error of your ways and repented in a true Christian fashion.
Absolutely.
And that you are now atoning in a true Christian fashion.
Yes,
in fact,
exactly.
You're now behaving much more like a Christian than the Christians you were with.
Yes, I've been told that by some Christians, actually.
Good. Well, congratulations That's on true. That, Paul, and thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you, Doug. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, what an appalling set of stories. I mean, you know, I really... Oh, that makes my blood boil. It really does. Anyway, next up, we're going to try and have a lighter moment as we try to remember it's not just tennis at this time of year, but it's also midsummer. And not just in the usual spots. Tony Briffer, the mayor of Hobson's Bay, will be joining us shortly.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.